Siren and Wine mit Call It Dreaming auf Flux FM. Ein Auszug aus der brandaktuellen Platte Beast Epic, die im August 2017 erschienen ist. Jetzt ist Sam Beam bei mir im Studio erschienen. Heute Abend spielt er im Huxleys. Vorher quatschen wir noch mal ein bisschen über die scheinbare Mühelosigkeit, mit der seine neue Platte Beast Epic besticht. Wir sprechen über das Wilco-Studio von Jeff Tweedy und die dort vorhandenen Instrumente. Wir finden heraus, wie sehr die Zusammenarbeit mit Jessica Hoop vielleicht einen Einfluss auf die Platte hatte. Vielleicht reden wir auch noch ein bisschen über den Bible Belt und vieles, vieles mehr. Zunächst aber sage ich Hello and welcome, Sam.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. It's a good thing that you're here, that you've made it.
It's good to be back.
Into our little studio. So where are you coming from today, actually?
We were in Aarhus in Denmark.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. And now we're here.
Yes. Finally. He's back. It's been a while.
I love it here.
Yeah. We love having you here. It's been a while, right? You've worked with Jessica Hoop in between.
Yeah,
didn't put out a record for like 4 years or so.
Yeah. I did the record with Jess and we played at the Passion Church a little over a year ago. But I haven't been back since. It's great.
Yeah.
Great to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Congratulations once again on Beast Epic, your newest record.
Thank you.
It's a record that kind of like went back to the roots, or you went back to the roots with it.
Yeah.
It's a stripped down acoustic sounding record.
Yeah.
What made you go for that specific sound again?
Well, it wasn't really like going backwards. It felt like going forwards and realizing you were back at the same place.
Going full circle.
Yeah, in a way. Approaching the arrangements in a similar way, you know, with a lot of other things going on, but giving space to the lyrics to be in the forefront. Mm. Just a little more quiet, a little more subdued, a little more relaxed.
Mm.
Seems like that's what the songs were asking for.
Yeah. And it seems, you once told another interviewer that you kind of found your voice again with that record, and did you?
Yeah. Well, I think we were mentioning Jessica Hoop a minute ago. I did a record with her where my voice was just a player in the scene, like a play, you know, like we were in the theater. And so I got to hear it for what it did just naturally, instead of it being like the middle of the Iron and Wine thing and me keeping on trying to do different things with it. I just sort of relaxed and just, this is me when I open my mouth.
Yeah.
And so it was really freeing, and I brought that to this project too.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant thing that as an artist, after being putting out records for like 15, 16 years, it must be a good feeling to realize that you can kind of just let go and make a record without thinking too much about it, because that's the worst enemy of a good record is like criticizing yourself too much, right?
Definitely. Well, definitely. That's really harsh on your creative process, you know, just self-doubt. I mean, it's always part of it. But at the same time, I like pushing myself to new places. But this time it felt like the new place was just being me. Which is a fun, it is a fun thing to reach.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a cool thing to reach. I think many artists are kind of like working towards that point in their career where they go, well, maybe I'll just sound like myself and do a record, not think about it too much, and it's going to work out. I think many people who are listening to us right now are like, damn, I want to be at that place, you know?
Just be me.
Just like Mikey Mike. But another thing that I read about the record, and I think that played a big part in this. Good music always seems effortless, right? People have worked on a song for like 1.5 years and they went crazy over it, but the result sounds effortless. It sounds as if it just came out of the guy.
Right.
Like effortlessness of your new record, it has to do with, it has to do a little bit with the fact that you recorded stuff live with the band in a room.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, especially for these songs, which kind of celebrate their fragility. It's a sort of human fragility. It's important to have like a human performance. I mean, I love computer music, but this one was about people doing people things. And so, it's all about, there's certain frequencies that when you're all playing together and the microphones are picking up parts of everybody, that things start to weave together in this weird way, this sound that you can't really reproduce any other way. I like that kind of stuff. And I like how the takes aren't perfect. You know, they kind of lunge forward and backwards, and, you know, there's weird notes, and Yeah. Think it feels like a real live human thing.
Yeah, and that makes the music kind of live longer, I think, because mm-hmm. all these quantized and compressed modern aesthetics, they, you know, you listen to that song for 10 cool. times and you're like, yeah, now I got it. But they're if there's cool. little mistakes in there, you can listen to them forever.
Well, they're cool. It's just what this record was about was us being not perfect.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being okay. And so I felt like the music needed to reflect it. And
yeah.
So, I mean, I love computer music. It's pretty fucking sexy.
Yeah.
I can't say that.
Yes,
pretty,
you can.
Pretty sexy.
It's German radio. Oh, you can swear on here. Yes, you can. There's got to be one advantage of being on German radio. So, I mean, you've played a lot of shows with that new record already in the States. It came out in August. Yeah. So how's touring the record been so far? It's a different fucking world. Now I'm swearing.
But man, what's up, Party Mouth?
It's a different
what are you
world.
Mad about?
It's a different world that you're touring through right now. In 2013, President Obama was still in the office. And it seemed, I mean, it was a crazy world back then as well. But now it seems like...
People are just unhappy for a different reason now.
Yeah. But did you get a different vibe? Do people talk to you about...
Oh, yeah. I mean, people are freaked out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, I think people are becoming just, you know, used to having like all this new fear in their life. It's becoming their new normal. But yeah, I mean, people are talking. Yeah, people talk about those things. I don't know. Tour is kind of like a bubble. You go through and you're like really involved in your own thing, and then you reach out and you meet new people. And it's hard to get like a sense of what everyone's feeling because I don't really talk about those things to everyone.
And
sometimes
I
have to take a break.
And I bet there's not too many Trump supporters on Iron and Wine shows.
You never know.
You never know.
That's
right?
The thing. You never know who it is. The band has been super fun. It's a 5-piece, and we just reinterpret like all the entire catalog.
Yeah,
really. We play all the new songs. We play all the old songs. It's been a ball. But yeah, it's been fun to see. Yeah, because I'm obsessed with the news, but I don't really bring it into my art. That's it's kind of like politics are boring for me to sing about.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really speak to me. It doesn't make me want to write a song politics.
Yeah,
but. Just sort of the human interaction. Yeah, we'll see where that leads to, what kind of songs, you know, people being afraid or people, we'll see. We'll
see.
Or how fragile things, you know, you think you understand like what life is like, and then all of a sudden it turns and it's very different.
I really think that there are artists who can put a political slogan into their song and it sounds great, but there's artists, maybe like Iron and Wine, maybe like you as Iron and Wine, where it would feel a bit strange if you went like...
I just find it limiting. I mean, I have very strong political opinions, and I know people who make really powerful political statements in their songs. Mm. It's not like I don't like political music. It just doesn't make me want to write a song.
Yeah.
Mine's more like a social... I don't know, spiritual, anthropological.
Yeah, and that is politics too, right? I think that was found out in the 70s, that the private life is also part of a political life, and it's always going to be. So
Definitely. I mean, it definitely affects my life, and so it ends up affecting my music. I just don't write specifically political songs for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe someday.
I mean, you do what you got to do.
I'll come up with a song called The Dude with the Big Orange Hair.
There's two hip-hop crews that I've talked to about that same thing. One was the Dead Press, and they're like, we're artivists, we have to be political. And the other guys were the Sugar Hill Gang, and they're like, no, we spread love, man. That's our job.
That's kind of where I come from. I find politics a little boring. I find politics endlessly fascinating and endlessly boring. Like, I'm obsessed about it, but it's like the most boring thing because I don't trust any politics.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to sum it up, I think. Let's listen to another song of your record. It's called Thomas County Law, and then we talk a bit more, and then you're going to give us a little live performance.
Sounds
cool. Sam Beam ist immer noch bei mir im Studio. Wir hören hier von der neuen Iron and Wine Platte Thomas County Law. Nice.
Cool.
First one's done. Let's do a shorter second one, and then we'll blend over into the
No problem.
Cool.
The body looks away when the sun goes down.
No, that's really, you can really feel the live energy when you listen to that recording.
Yeah.
And the frequencies that you've just described, they're there.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
It gets a little swimmy and fun.
Yeah, it's a magical thing that's happening when people are playing in a room together.
I think so. You got the right people recording them, it can be really fun.
To the wrong people, there's no magic. That's true. You've moved to Durham, North Carolina not too long ago with your family.
Yeah.
How important is adjusting to a new era and area and maybe getting to know new places for you as an artist? Because I think that must be pretty inspiring to kind of like getting to a new place and like finding out how people are ticking there.
Yeah, definitely. I like meeting new things. That song in particular, the one that I just played, was born out of me moving to this. But it's actually the opposite. It's about like going backwards. And because I moved back to an area where I grew up, like close to where I grew up, and it felt really strange. And so I was like dealing with all these feelings about like rejecting and but also accepting my origins.
Yeah.
And that's what that last song was about, basically. But there's also been really great things about moving there. It's kind of a brainiac place. There's a bunch of universities and great food.
Yeah,
and wine and
it's kind of like a hip place, right? I mean, especially
it's about as hip as North Carolina gets, except for Asheville, maybe.
Yeah. But you've just mentioned the fact that you kind of like went back to an area where you came from. I've just mentioned the Bible Belt in the very beginning of this interview.
And when
I talk to people who grew up there, I always have the feeling that it's like a super inspiring place to grow up at. I mean, if you're a secular person or a religious person, doesn't even matter. The whole thing, the mud that you kind of like grew up in there, it kind of like inspires you for the rest of your life, I feel.
It totally does, yeah. I mean, it's so in and of itself, it's so particular to the place and the culture and everything. It's kind of like the difference between like Berlin, which is a really international place, and like Munich, which is like beer halls and very German. You know, it's kind of like the South and the Bible Belt are like that, where it's like inescapable.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other culture that really exists there, and so when you leave, it's easier to talk about it or react or like realize how it's affected you
in
this way. It's kind of hard when you're there.
Yeah.
It's definitely intense. And unique.
And I think it makes you work on deeper characters maybe as well. I think in another interview you told people that the fact that you grew up there makes you want to go for characters in your songs that are like
that
have a spiritual thing to them maybe or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're all, you know, you write about what you know about, so there's a part of me in all of them. Sometimes I'm imagining or projecting more than other times, and sometimes the majority of it is autobiographical. That one in particular has a lot of autobiography in it. Yeah.
Mm.
It's a real feeling to like try to go up the birth canal. It's very painful.
Yeah, totally.
For everyone involved.
Yeah. No, but I really think it's an age thing as well, because I'm 42 now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think about where I come from much, much more than I used to do in the last 20 years. I was like, I live in Berlin now for 20 years. That's my thing.
Yeah.
But now I realize I'm still a guy from Frankfurt, you know? There's still something inside of me that you can't get rid of that.
Yeah, I'm about the same age. It's funny. I mean, this whole record is kind of about that. You know, like getting to a place in your life where you're trying to be you, like do my thing. And then you realize, like, it only got me so far, and a lot of it didn't really work out.
Yeah.
And so you start looking back, like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
And then, it's like that song. You're, like, saying this part about it is fucked up, and this part is, you know, that's just me, and it's okay. And hopefully it'll help us move forward toward the horizon. at least help out some.
Yeah, but it's really interesting that you kind of, like, I feel being like my mother much more, you know, than I used to.
I was going to say, you're a lot like your mom.
Yeah, man, I really am. In a good way and in a bad way as well. But you know what I'm saying. So you recorded at Jeff Tweedy's studio, at the Wilco studio, yeah, and that was an inspiring thing too, with all these instruments
cozy.
There.
Yeah, it's really cozy. We have a lot of mutual friends, and Glenn and Kochi had played on the last record with me and Jess, and just known each other for a long time, and their space is so cozy, and I'd worked with their engineer, Tom Schick, before, and he's so talented. And I didn't really want to use a producer, so I just kind of needed it's almost like a home studio, you know, but they've got this, like, great gear.
Yeah, the best equipped home studio in the world.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, Jeff's pretty obsessive, and in a great way. I mean, in a way where he's turned this, you know, the success of his band and this blessing that is, and turned it around into, like, feeding other people's creativity, yeah. You know, like opening a studio up for other people.
For Mavis Staples, for example, great stuff that came out with those guys.
Totally. Yeah, he does. He's constantly recording. And it's great.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And I've read that you wanted to get his attic, build it, get his attic into the touring van.
That would be nice, man.
It's not going to happen, unfortunately. So what's tonight's setup going to be? Are you touring with the band, or are you going to play solo?
It's a five-piece band, me and two people that play on the record, Teddy Rankin Parker plays the cello, and Sebastian Steinberg plays the bass. And then two new ladies, Eliza Hardy Jones playing the keyboards, and then Beth Goodfellow's playing the drums.
Cool.
And so, it's pretty improvisational and loose. We play the whole catalog, basically.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And it's going to be interesting for fans of the old school material to listen to those old school songs in a new way. It's going to be lovely. I think it's going to be lovely. People out there are going to enjoy it.
So lovely.
So you brought your acoustic guitar with you, and I would love if you played a little song for us.
Awesome.
Cool.
This next song, is called About a Bruise.
Weed believes the garden. Sunday clothes don't fool me. The sky is full of our prayer. Prayer. When you were making moonlight for Markovs and Mobile, the night fell from their eyes. From their eyes. This is borrowed stone. I'd help you let your hair down. Point to birds. Then you'd say bang, bang, bang. The sun left every evening. Good grass was dying. You drew your dawn on the world, on the world. Tenderness to you was only talk about a bruise. Or walking into water left. Papa saw me coming. Blood knows when it's worth it. All you said like a song. A song. Jesus left a best friend. Mine says forget her. His field is waiting for wind. Lying cook had candy. You let it blow your candle a bit. That's a funny Sam. Ring a bell that's broken. That sound is loud inside us. Flowing farther away. Far away. Tenderness to you was only talk about a bruise. Walking into water after dark. Love can last a lifetime. This is Alabama. Any wheel is forgiving the road. The road. Now you're making music for beautiful people by the sea who don't need a song, need a song. Tenderness to you, is that a dog about a bruise? This is Alabama.